Bonjour everybody and welcome to a special episode of the Idea Element, all about the launch of the Access Control Service. Yes! We are here with a frequent guest of our show, that's Caleb Baker. Yeah! Thanks Caleb for allowing us to squat in your office for...
Happy to have you, as always.
Thank you, you're too kind. So, we had you a number of times in the show, but you are actually working for different teams. So, would you care to tell us what you're doing today?
Sure. So now I'm acting as a program manager on Access Control Services. I've been in this role for about 6 months now, previously working on What Is It Any Foundation and ADFS, so lots of time in this space. And specifically for the last bit, the things that I can talk about at least.
Good, let's not go into trouble.
Yeah, here. Exactly. I've been focused on some of the phone experience tied into the launch of Windows Phone 7, of course, and then also making some of the other logon flows a bit easier, particularly in error scenarios, and I think we're going to talk about both of those today.
Wow, that's exciting stuff, especially for the phone. I'm curious to hear everything about it. So, what can you tell us about it?
Everything.
Excellent.
So, I'll jump to the whiteboard then
right.
And explain the scenario here a little bit.
Perfect.
So, of course, this is going to be inside a Windows Phone 7 Silverlight application. And the problem being solved here in the app is wanting to hook up the phone app to, you know, all the myriad of identity providers that you can configure within ACS. Be it Google, Live ID, Facebook, Yahoo, or connected out to ADFS.
Right.
And how this is done, you know, to make it easy to handle all the different protocols that are supported by these identity providers, is the sample uses the web browser control. And this sample you can get both from the ACS CodePlex site, or as I understand it, it'll also be available for you in the famous developer identity training kit.
Yes, that one. Thank you for the plug.
No problem. So, what the sample does is it's going to give you a sign-in link, and when you click on that link, it goes and it retrieves the HRD feed, JSON feed that's published for your ACS tenant. I believe that Aaron, you've already met with Aaron and gone into a deep dive on that topic. So,
yep.
Great. So, but what that basically what that list gives the phone application is information about whichever identity providers have been configured for that app. So then in the web browser, still in the Silverlight control, it's going to give you a list of like Live ID, Google, dot, dot, dot.
So all the stuff is dynamic, like it actually gets these automatically, it's not hard-coded.
Absolutely. So you can go to the ACS management portal, add an identity provider, remove someone, and then when you come back here and this list gets refreshed, it'll, you know, reflect the appropriate changes.
And that's all wrapped into the control.
Absolutely.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, super simple to do. Made a slight update to just like the XAML parser that's being used by the control for this later drop. Because this control has been in there for a little bit, but we've made some updates to it. So now all you have to do is drop in the name of your service namespace and the identifier that's used to configure the application, and presto, you get all this behavior.
That's
right. Out of the box, yeah, so it works pretty nicely. So then when you click on one of these links, it also has the URL for the sign-in for that site, and goes and it waits for a navigate to occur and see that it's stopped and actually has some HTML content, then switches over to show you that logon page. And that's just to give you a good user experience so we can have the progress bar. And not
so wait, let me understand.
Yeah.
When you say HTML content, does that mean that like you are hosting a browser?
That's right, yeah. So what happens is, once you click on the link, and mm-hmm. it starts going and doing redirects, it doesn't show the web browser control yet. It's just going to show a little progress bar, and, you know, like signing in to give you more of a built-in experience. You know, you feel like you're in the app still.
So the Metro guideline guys will be happy.
Right. That's
great.
You know, we want to try and make everyone happy. So then once it detects that HTML content has actually been downloaded, it determines, okay, I must be at the sign-in page. So it makes the web browser control visible, and it's going to be inside the space, and you have, you know, a web page rendered by the identity provider.
And so do you think we could put the identity provider on the whiteboard so that somewhere, like these pages coming from, like, let's say, Live ID.
Exactly. So you have your normal, you have a Live ID sign in here.
Perfect.
And you would enter your credentials, goes to the Live ID site. And then what's going to happen is ACS will hide the control again while the redirects, ACS won't, but the control is going to hide itself again when it sees that the redirects are occurring.
Okay.
And it's going to redirect back to the ACS service.
So what I would suggest is that we actually put like the little icons in there, so that when we do redirects, we actually see the arrows back and forth. Like besides the phone, also like,
you want to see, like the full,
a bubble for full ACS, plus a bubble for the.
Exactly. Avoid the standard three-legged.
Yeah, I know, okay. But you know, I'm dense.
Every talk, yeah.
I need to see that, otherwise I'm in trouble.
Okay. So.
Live ID.
Live ID. Pass your username and password.
And of course, these could be Facebook, Google, anybody else.
Exactly. Your ADFS for your corporate network.
Excellent.
It sends a token back. It's then posted to ACS.
Our good friend ACS.
Exactly. And once it's posted to ACS, we've made a change in ACS where you can specify protocol type to be JavaScript notified. So what's going to happen, and this is an improvement from the sample from what we've had previously, is ACS is actually going to render a web page. And it will have the RSTR, so the request security response, hosted in the web page in this JavaScript format. And when it's hosted in that page, it uses the JavaScript notify call, which you can hook inside an event inside a Silverlight application. So when it fires, it's actually this page passing the token back into the phone application.
Great. So let me add a couple of things for the viewers that may not be too deep into this. So normally, if we would be following this flow, the token that you are getting from Live ID and then that you are getting from ACS would be going to one web page. But instead here, you want the token to actually go to the Windows Phone application.
Exactly. Because what we want to do is we want to make this transition, basically, from like a web browser control where we're doing these passive redirects that are normally done if you're accessing a web application, to transition into like a rich client application like the phone. So it's able to make active calls off to the service that it's going to, you know, get whatever data from.
That's a great trick. And just to remark, if somebody wants to use these, basically they are not required to understand any of the diagram. Let's say that if they can just drop the control, use their own access control service namespace, properly configured, but everything happens automatically. This is just because, we talk about this because it's interesting, not because they need to know.
Yeah, just to understand some of the mechanics underneath. But as a developer, what you see is, like I say, in starting point, you put in your service namespace, you put in an identifier for your service application, you can register your callback, so then once the token's been received, you get notified, and then you can do something with that token. In this case, once that callback is fired, I'm using that token and I'm passing it inside the authorization header using the OAuth2 specifier.
That's great. So the token that you are getting is some flavor that does not bloat it too much, right?
Right. So I have my ACS tenant, inside my ACS tenant, configured for this reliant party to return the simple web token, SWT token.
Great.
Which is very compact, basically just like a signed, you know, name value pairs.
That's great. That's great. And so then for making that call, you use the OAuth2 protocol?
Yes.
I never know how to pronounce it. OAuth.
So OAuth plus the security token inside the authorization header. And then that accesses the service, which I have configured using the OAuth library from the Fabricam shipping sample.
Just fantastic.
Not write my own.
That's great.
And it works great. And then this returns the data, which in the case is just a JSON feed of contact information for various users.
That's very neat. Very neat. And so I remember that you added also some state management for that,
yeah,
right?
Exactly, yeah, exactly. So there's a little bit of management built into it to take that token and write it into isolated storage. It also, as part of the response message that you get from ACS, it has timestamps on it that tell you the, you know, the validity time of that token. So in the inside management APIs, it'll also notify you if the token's expired, so you know that you can go off and like re-trigger this flow again. And it also gives you the option to do a sign out and clear out that token.
That's great. So basically that means that you can do this flow, and then you can exit the application, and then if you reopen the application, if you still have a valid token, you will not have to go back to authenticate.
Exactly.
That's great. So let's talk for a moment about this specific area, because I know that there are often questions about this. So you save the token in isolated storage, right?
Right.
So, and the isolated storage prevent other applications from seeing it.
It'll prevent other applications.
Great. But if, for example, if somebody acquires physically the phone, then it's there.
Yep. If they can get to the hard drive, there's no encryption over this isolated storage.
Right. And so the alternative to that would be like to ask the user to, for example, put a PIN every time to...
Yeah, you could do something like that. I have some sample code that I've played around with. Because basically what you would do, there's some symmetric cryptography available on the phone. So you could implement it that you enter your PIN and then you get derived bytes from it. And then that's your symmetric key that you could use to then, you know, encrypt and decrypt the token. Because if you want to do something like that, you wouldn't want to just, you know, have a hard-coded, you know, if user enters foobar,
of
then
course.
Give them the access.
Yeah.
Then there's no real
surprise,
protection.
Surprise, surprise. Yes. Yeah, and here I guess that the user, it's always the trade-off between security and usability. Let's say that here in the sample, also in the training kit, we assume like we have the simple case in which we just save these in isolated storage, but if somebody would want to go the extra mile, then they could actually implement something for encryption.
They could do it, yeah. And, you know, like I said, I played around with it a little bit. But for the majority of cases, it seems like, you know, re-authenticating. You're writing a password anyway.
Right.
So whether it's your PIN or your password, in most cases, I think it's fairly equivalent. But I could also imagine scenarios where maybe the PIN, it's okay to have less complexity, so it's a bit easier to manage.
Right. And then again, there is like, that's important. The important thing is that people know what they are doing when they do it. Like, and the sample is open to it. And by the way, saving a token is always better than just saving a username and password, right?
Oh, absolutely. That's like a, you know, almost unlimited access token that's completely out of your control. So that's an excellent point and a good thing to keep in mind.
Yeah, that's. That's great. And this thing works with Windows Phone 7, right?
That's right, yeah.
Perfect. Okay, so this is really useful. Like, I hear a lot of questions about this because, of course, like people already have their identities around, and so having to do something special for the phone, it's like people wouldn't like it. And also the fact that you have this control that decouples you from having to implement the specific protocols of everybody is great. It's great. I'm sure that a lot of people will love you for the thing that you have put together.
Well, thank you.
And that's great. So how about instead of the other thing that you mentioned, like
yep.
the error management?
Yeah, so we added a feature into ACS to make it a bit easier for the application developer, for the web app developer, to have control when an error occurs. So kind of the typical scenario would be is, say you're signing on to a web page, and I don't know why I erased it, because now my diagram is back.
But now we've rounded our corners.
Exactly. Mixing it up a little bit. You have ACS, whichever identity provider you're using. So I'll say Facebook in this case. And your web page. All right, so the typical flow here is, and this is the user sitting here at their browser. So the typical flow, and you've probably seen this before, but I'll do it quickly because I think it's useful, is you access the web page, and you haven't been authenticated yet. So you get redirected, sent to ACS. ACS can then prompt you for which identity provider you want to use. So you select Facebook, redirects you over to Facebook. Now, Aaron showed you with the HRD feed that you're able to read the list of identity providers and host it here in the web page, so the user doesn't see ACS in this flow. And there's a lot of reasons that you might want to do that. Of course, you know, the default page that we have isn't going to fit with the scheme that you've and style that you've come up with on your web page.
Of course.
It's highly unlikely that that's how you style your web page.
Well, you never know. You never know.
You never know. But on the odd chance that you haven't styled your web page in all gray and white, then you'll probably want to draw something yourself. All right, so then say you've actually hosted it there, so the user clicks on the nice link, bounces them through, and they end up on Facebook. Now, once they're on Facebook, something happens unexpected. Like the user is prompted to say, like, do you want to allow this application to access Facebook? And they say no, for whatever reason. They've decided they don't want to use your application, they want to use a different identity provider.
Or they don't understand what's going on with
your Right, they're just confused in general.
So, just in case, I'll say no.
For whatever reason. Now, what would happen typically here is the error code that gets generated by that user's refusal to provide consent gets sent back to ACS, and ACS provides you a nicely formatted table with lots of diagnostic error information.
I had that experience a number of times.
Which everybody might not find to be the most friendly experience. So now what you can do is you have an option when you're configuring a reliant party that you can specify a URL that you want error information posted back to. And this creates a JSON serialization of basically the same information that you would see in that web page. So that when the error occurs and is redirected back to ACS, ACS will package it up and post that error information back to your web app. Once you receive it, you can do whatever you find appropriate. If you see that it was the code that it was failed consent, you can, ask the user why, or more likely just represent them with the list of identity providers because maybe they want to select another one. So that's one scenario there. Another case would be if the user doesn't actually have access to your application. I think right now the experience they would get is they authenticate to, say, an ADFS instance. A token gets posted to ACS, and ACS goes through, and maybe the user's not a member of a group that they need to in order to access the application. So then ACS doesn't issue any claims into their token, which is the error message that they see, Policy Engine did not issue user claims, which, again, is not the most useful for everybody. But your application can interpret that error message, and, you have a pretty clean access denied experience, or talk to your administrator, or whatever steps that user needs to perform.
This is really neat because one of the typical things that happen in Federation is that with the fact that you outsource control, you have less worries, but then there are certain things that you still want to control, and error management has traditionally been one of those, and until now there was pretty much nothing that would allow you to do that. With these, basically in your web application you gain complete control over how you want to handle an error situation.
Right.
That's very nice.
And then the other kind of nice use case of it too is, maybe there's some case where a real problem is occurring, that some segment of your users, for whatever reason, aren't getting the claim that you would have expected that they are. In that case, you have the option on your web server that you can log that, you can notify, you can have your own process. Where in this case, it's just kind of invisible to you and you would wait for users' complaints to come in. So hopefully, provide a better user experience and, real end-to-end experience in that way as well.
Now that's a really great feature. Congratulations. That's great. And also, one of the nice, neat things of these is that it's very simple. So I'd say that we pretty much covered it to the extent it needs to be covered. So that's great. I may actually give you back your time, but before that, since you had this experience of working on this team, I'd say that I'd ask you if there is, something that you want to share about your experience of building the access control service that you think may be of interest for our viewers.
Well, hopefully it's interesting, but I can say in terms of my enjoyment, one thing that I really liked is just having a bit faster pace in terms of, both working with the team and then also getting things out to the customer and starting to get feedback and being able to iterate on things much more quickly see what has uptake, see where there's problems. You know, something like this with the error handling and everything. Once it's out there, you can see it. Be like, okay, there's kind of a hole here that we want to fill. And the team's been great to work with. They're all, you know, fast-paced, smart people, so you can jump in with them and hopefully get a lot done quickly and provide that to all of you to enjoy it.
That's great. That's the cloud. Now it's the release is really at a fast pace. That's really great. I'm sure that people will love this testimony. And that said, thank you for your time, and we are looking forward to see the evolutions of those two in the next iteration.
Absolutely. All right, well, thanks a lot.
Thank you.